What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I am your host, Charlie Robinson. How are you doing? We're almost halfway through this year. Is everyone hanging in there physically, mentally? Oh boy, it's rough, huh? But there's so much goodness on the horizon. We got to hang in there just a little bit longer. Thanks so much to my amazing sponsors over at C60 Purple Power. Ken and the team over there have been amazing to us. I continue to take their products. I continue to feel great. My cat continues to take C60 Purple Power, and she is doing great. I am happy to report. C60 is a naturally occurring molecule comprised of 60 carbon atoms that forms something that looks a little bit like a hollow soccer ball. And if you go to their website, they'll give you a visual and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. This unique and unusual structure makes C60 a free radical sponge with the ability to neutralize free radicals and reset itself again and again. It is the most powerful antioxidant known. It's hundreds and hundreds of times more powerful than anything out there. And it helps maximize the efficiency of the cells in producing energy. We need energy. We need to help our cells out. So why don't you give your body something to help make it run a little bit better? People add fuel additives to their gas tank to make their cars run better. Think of this as an additive to make your body run better. You can go to c60purplepower.com and use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. I mean, listen, this stuff is important. The guys that discovered it won the Nobel Prize for it. It is clearly an important substance. Not a lot of people know about it, but you're listening to topics and podcasts and things like that are a little unusual. Not necessarily the traditional types of topics that get discussed on the nightly news. So you're going to hear from sponsors and advertisers that are not exactly the type that would appear on the nightly news either. So you're getting access to some information that a lot of other people will never hear about. I encourage you to take a look at c60purplepower.com. Just go to the website, take a look, see if it's right for you, see if it makes sense to you. If it does, and you want to save yourself some money, and of course, why wouldn't you? Please use the promo code MACRO. That helps to support me, and it helps to save you some money, and of course, it supports our sponsor as well. And I also had a fun time doing this. Tim James, the owner of Chemical Free Body, who's been on the show a couple times before. I got an episode that we pre-recorded back in February, right before he started me on this challenge, what's called the Total Energy and Detox Bundle. It's It's four containers with pills, gut detox, toxin detox, probiotics, and ultra enzymes. And you just take those. They're just capsules. You just take them every day. They don't make you feel weird or anything like that. And then two containers of Green 85, which is like this powdered green substance that you add to 12 ounces of water, stir it up and drink it. He told me, you do this for 90 days, you will see massive changes. Now, I'm in pretty good shape. Beforehand, pretty good shape. Go to the gym. I'm exercising. I eat well. I didn't think I had a whole lot to lose or change or, you know, but I did it anyway because I like Tim and I'm interested in science projects and I figured I would try one out on myself. Oh my God. You've got to go just watch the video I made. chemicalfreebody.com/macro. I did like a couple minute video clip to show the results. You can't lie on video like that and show how my pants don't fit anymore. And I honestly did not think I had any weight to lose. And yet here I am showing you I've lost at least an inch on my waist because of this. It's phenomenal. Obviously there's no chemicals involved. Thus the name Chemical Free Body. It's amazing. It really is. And I know, and I do realize I sound a little bit like Alex Jones talking about vitamins on my podcast. But I can't argue. I can't argue with the results. So go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Take a look, see what you get. Same as C60 Purple Power. Just go to the website, check it out. See what you think. If you like it, go for it. Use the promo code macro, save yourself some money. If not, no big deal. We're just giving you options here. We got options for you, people. And God knows we're going to need them as we move into the tail end of this year. And that's really what I want to talk about in this episode, is where we're headed. Where are we going? I mean, I know where the media tells us we're going. I don't know that I necessarily believe them ever. But they're telling us to be afraid. I'm afraid of some things, but when the media tells me to be afraid, I'm not afraid because I know that they're using that as a tactic. I feel uncomfortable outsourcing my critical thinking to those people. I don't trust them. They're not to be believed with anything they say. They're creating narratives and agendas and things like that. From time to time, they do give up the plan a little bit. And it might be intentional. It might be predictive programming. They give you a little taste of what's to come because they want you. They want it to sort of get it embedded in your head so that you think about it. So when it does actually come, you refer back to that point. Oh, yeah, I think I might have heard something about that. That's what they're doing right now with the cyber attacks. This is the prepping for this. We've talked about, I mean, we know about cyber, the concept of cyber attacks is not new, to be clear. But the push for them, the increasing frequency of cyber attacks is not accidental. This is part of a much bigger agenda that's coming out in the following years that's going to be wrapped around cyber attacks, bad actors, Russia. You know, Russia's doing all these cyber attacks. They're not. I mean, maybe some of the hackers are of Russian descent, but, you know, state sanctioned cyber attacks happen all the time. I'm not trying to pretend that they don't. But when the media tells you that it's Russian based, then you know it's not. And what have we had lately? We've had the Colonial Pipeline, large gas pipeline that runs down the eastern coast of the United States, responsible for, I think they said, 30% of the gasoline on the East Coast. We have the JBS meat processing facility that was hit by a cyber attack as well. Largest meat processing facility. I feel like this is just a little test run turn the gas off for a couple days, turn the meat off for a couple days. You know, the nice thing, if the World Economic Forum has their way, they can't very easily shut off the cricket situation, right? We can always go collect crickets. So even if they do a cyber attack and shut down the distribution of the from the meat processing facilities, there's always crickets. And apparently, I wouldn't be surprised if Klaus Schwab put out a cookbook for all of his grasshoppers, crickets, mealworms, you know, all the things that he's talking about us eating in the future. He's like the Ina Garten of bugs and fake pandemics. He's the Bobby Flay of grasshoppers. I mean, it's, you know, I'm obviously joking a bit, but we know that there's a push here. So it's an attack on a gas pipeline, logical. Attack on a meat processing pipeline. That's setting the stage. That's getting people starting to think that there could be supply chain issues with regard to food in general, but meat specifically. But then that's like in parallel with the World Economic Forum started to talk about, well, you know, meat is really bad for the environment, too much carbon and all that horse shit. We got to, you know, cow farts are going to kill the world. They've talked openly about that, which is just so preposterous and ridiculous that anybody would think that. I think I think that it's a litmus test to see how stupid people are. You know, if somebody wants to get into a debate or a conversation with you regarding climate or the climate change, carbon emissions, and they pull it, and if during the discussion they ever bring up the idea of cow farts as contributing to it, it's just automatic disqualification. You just instantly know that that's not a serious person. Because if that's part of your argument is horseshit. We've also had in Massachusetts, there was a cyber attack against the ferry boat group. That to me is maybe less obvious. I don't know, maybe showing supply chain, you know, cyber attack disruptions of transportation. You know, it also kind of, you know, it works into supply chain. It's more the supply of people from one place to the other, but a factor. You know, we've got, so the cyber attacks are part of the cyber polygon idea that we're starting to hear the World Economic Forum put forth for another scenario that they're running in July of this year, where they're going to simulate cyber attacks, much in the same way that they simulated coronavirus outbreaks with Event 201 a couple months in advance. So if their pattern holds firm, then what we know is to expect by the end of the year, say 6 months out, maybe we'll have a real legit cyber attack. I think that's inevitable. I think that's coming. There's too much predictive programming. There's too much talk about it for it to not happen. And I think they're going to take the internet down. I really do. They might not take it down for good, but they might take it down just enough to see what the reaction is. Just to see how badly people freak out. You know, it's one thing to keep people cooped up in their homes for, you know, 15 days to flatten the curve, as long as everybody has internet access and Netflix and things like that. But if you want to keep Americans docile and controllable, shutting down the internet is not the best way to do it, because people are going to be feeling very disconnected in a literal sense and a figurative sense, disconnected from friends and family, disconnected from their work, disconnected from their online banking or emails or all. I mean, just think of the ramifications of that. You know, but disconnected from society. I mean, there's only so many like DVDs you can watch. That is, if you can even get anything to work, really, because everything is so connected to the internet these days that it's hard to say. I mean, what in your house will, you know, if you've got a smart home, you might be in trouble. If you've got smart home features, like your garage doors are hooked up to your cell phones, like in my house, you know, what happens if the internet goes down? It's going to have massive ramifications. That's my point. And I think it's coming. Now, I don't know, that's speculation, to be clear. But it stands to reason that that is something that they would do a test run for, to see how people freak out, what the reaction is, what people do, where do they go, do they go anywhere, and what happens when things get put back on. Now, I would say that you could time this to the installation of Internet 2.0. You know, at some point that's going to be a thing, a much different version of the internet. We've discussed this before, an internet in which you need an internet ID card to get on, and that internet ID card will be tied to you biometrically. It will be specific to who you are. You will be tracked beyond just the obvious IP address tracking that currently happens. It will be a new version of the internet where nothing will be private. Everything will be logged to you for tracking, for spying purposes and things like that. They do not want you to have any sort of anonymity. They just don't. The idea that somebody could be anonymous behind a keyboard makes them uncomfortable. They don't like that. They don't want that. They understand the internet kind of came out and connected everybody, and it's done a great job of that, and it's changed the world. But now they're ready to change it again, and they want it. They don't want a free and open internet. There are ways around this currently. There's IPFS, interplanetary file sharing system that I've talked to Ernest Hancock about. That's an alternative, but you know, I don't have the technical background to really even understand it to a level that would be sufficient to speak about it intelligently. So I just know that it exists, and I know people that know how it all works, but I don't. And so we're going to be moving into a very transitional time where things that we feel are stable, or have always felt are stable, supply chain, internet, electricity working, water, all those things that in the Western world we've come to take for granted, will be challenged. You see, the people that are running the show right now, as we've described them as maybe the best termed, the predator class, they're running a test simulation right now on us to see how we respond, see how we respond to pandemics, see how we respond to the media's component in promoting a pandemic, how we respond to the vaccinations. You know, will we line up and just immediately take the jab, or do you need to be bribed with donuts and beer? Or how many laps around Talladega do you get to do before you will sign up for the vaccine? The number of laps currently is pegged at 2. If you do, they've determined that if you get the vaccine, you can do 2 laps around Talladega. Personally, I'm holding out for 4 laps, but that's just me. I believe that, you know, when you, in conjunction with these cyber attacks that we've seen, a nice way to get a 2-for-1 with that is when you hear about the ransomware stories where they're asking for Bitcoin as ransom to be paid because it's digital and anonymous. Bitcoin is not anonymous, but you know, in theory, that's the idea behind this. It's not a briefcase filled with marked bills. That's my point. So when you hear about ransomware attacks that are tied to cyber attacks and that the payoff is in cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, then you can feel the setup. You can understand that they're pulling in cryptocurrencies and demonizing them and saying, see, we told you, only drug dealers and cyber terrorists use cryptocurrencies. You can't have Bitcoin. You can't have Monero. You can't have Pirate Chain. You can't have WowNero. You can't have any of these privacy coins. These are the tools of terrorists. They haven't gotten to Monero and those yet. They will. They'll finally figure them out. But right now they're focused on Bitcoin. How can we demonize it? Maybe not even to get rid of it, but just how can we demonize it so that we can get the price down low enough so that we can get in, you know, so that the whales can get in at a decent entry point. Might have been what happened to take it down from 60 to 30,000. I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I would be willing to bet that the tanking of that was not as organic and natural as it might have appeared to be. I'm not trying to say that price fluctuations aren't baked into the equation with crypto this early on. They definitely are. And you have to have the right constitution for it. You know, you have to have a stomach for a wild ride. But manipulating prices and marketplaces is what these guys do. These guys in the governments and on Wall Street, they do this for breakfast. So expect more demonization of crypto. This is where we're headed. Cyber attacks, the demonization of cryptocurrencies, while simultaneously developing their own. The CBDCs that we talked about, the central bank digital currencies, are here to stay. I mean, they are not developing these just to put them on the shelf. They intend to use them. They intend to have them programmable. It's going to be extremely dangerous what they do with these. But we should expect more supply chain disruptions. Definitely tied to cyber attacks. For sure, that's going to happen. But not limited to that. We already saw what happened with the Suez Canal, with the boat getting stuck there for a couple of days. That was weird. That was like the, you know, such an unnatural thing. I get it. You could, you know, people drive up on the curb all the time, but going through the Suez Canal and doing that, I don't know. My little conspiratorial brain gets going. There might not be anything to it. I might be overreacting, but still, when I see stuff like that, I just always envision somebody sitting in some boardroom somewhere going, excellent, excellent. It's going all according to plan, you know, Mr. Burns style. But the supply chain disruptions, yes, we got a little bit of that in the gas market for the Colonial Pipeline situation, and we saw prices spike and everybody line up to get gas. We saw what can best be described as people that are barely functioning human beings trying to fill up plastic bags with gas and tie them in knots and then put them in the trunk of their car, which is a form of natural selection, I believe. You know, I remember what happened with Pintos. You hit those, you rear end those things, they blow up. You got some Karen out there with a 37 gallon hefty bag trying to fill it up with gas in the trunk of her car. Just let that problem sort itself out, right? Have fun, lady. But the gas prices, for sure. We always get spikes in gas prices, and they say, well, we're going to a summer blend of gas. What the fuck does that have to do with anything? Why is it more expensive? Oh, well, more people are out driving around. Really? Since more people are driving around in the summer than they are in the winter, don't we all still have to go to the same places? I mean, it never makes any sense to me. We're already seeing, we saw supply chain disruption during COVID. And when you're talking about coming in from Asia, yeah, you might be talking about TVs and computers and microchips and things like that. And most definitely we're having a microchip shortage. But what about medicine? You know, we get 90% of our medicine is made in China. And we've got a fleet of cargo ships backed up off the coast of Long Beach because they can't get in the port of Los Angeles because it's filled with ships. So, you know, I don't recall this happening in 2018 and 2012 and 2006 and 1999. We were still shipping things. They were still going in the port of Los Angeles. They were still, still coming from Asia. It's not like we just discovered the Silk Road or something. Like, oh my God, we finally just are going to start doing some trade with China. No, this has been going on forever. But now all of a sudden we can't handle it. Now all of a sudden we forgot how to accurately schedule the ships to come in at the right time so that we don't have 300 ships sitting off the coast of Southern California just waiting to get in. I mean, did everybody lose their minds and forget how to do their job or what? So, and by the way, there's now another ship in the Suez Canal that's having problems. Great. This is going to become, see, the thing is with supply chain disruptions is that everything gets affected. It's not just like they shut down a road and so you have to use a different road. It's like they shut down the only road. When they shut down the supply chain for a port in LA, when there's a problem like that, it affects everybody and everything. And it has a domino effect where you might be in an industry that is relatively, unaffected by these sorts of things. But maybe there's one part, maybe you need let's as an example, you're in the auto industry. You could have all the parts that you need for your car to make these cars. But if one thing is missing, like a microchip, which is missing right now because there's massive shortages, you can't finish that car. And so then the manufacturing companies, Ford and Chevy and these companies, they can't finish the cars. Well, then what does that mean? Well, it means that the trucking industry that takes those cars from the manufacturing and distributes them throughout the country, they're impacted. It means that the dealerships don't have cars to sell. It means that the dealerships have to go out and convince you to, hey, you want to trade, come in and sell us your used car. I mean, I've talked to real estate clients of mine that are like, hey, my car dealership wants me to come in and sell them back my car. It's crazy. It's crazy. So supply chain disruptions are something that we're going to be facing. They're going to be real. This is not an advertisement for My Patriot Supply, but I mean, it could be. Prepare with macroaggressions.com. But I mean, get yourself ready for supply chain disruptions. And I'm not talking about civil war, right? I don't think we're going to have a civil war. We might, but I don't think that. I'm not saying get yourself prepared for that. Just get yourself prepared for even the most innocuous type of thing, like a supply chain disruption that winds up impacting your ability to get food on the schedule that you are accustomed to getting food. Think about these things. Prepare now. And I mean, even if you, like I said, even if you don't use prepare with macroaggressions.com, go when you go to the grocery store, buy an extra 5-pound bag of rice, 2 or 3 of them or something. Buy some canned foods that will last you a long time. Just think, just make one extra move. because if you like these shows and you're interested in these topics and they're a little bit scary, but not enough to really freak you out, just enough to get you kind of thinking, then it can't stop with just the thinking about this. There has to then be an additional action where you then buy yourself some more food. And you don't have to make a big deal about it and freak your family out or anything like that. You don't have to say, listen, we got to get prepared. Just quietly on the down low, accumulate a little bit of extra food, put it somewhere safe, and just have it. You know, once, what's the worst that can happen? You have some extra food. Toilet paper. We saw what happened with toilet paper. It was weird. Not the biggest problem in the world. You know, you could still, there were workarounds for toilet paper. Not good ones, but there were some. You know, it wasn't going to be the end of the world for you. But think about that and extrapolate out what that means if it's not just toilet paper, if it's something else. So anyway, expect that. Expect inflation. You know, here's another thing that's actually kind of a component of the supply chain disruption. The money that you have right now in your wallet or in your bank account, which by the way, shouldn't be, if you have a lot of it, get it out of the bank account, but that's a separate episode. But the dollars that you have are being devalued through inflation. So the cost of food is going up, cost of everything is going up. So it's also kind of, when you're thinking about prepping or you're thinking about loading up on a bunch of food, really what you're doing is you're trading your current dollars right now for that current price of food. And you're getting by buying that, you're getting food cheaper than it'll be 6 months from now, but you're also getting more for your money because your dollar is worth a little bit more than it will be worth 6 months from now. So you're trading fiat currencies for an asset. The asset might be rice or canned green beans or something, you know, but still, that's the process behind it. Your dollars will be worth less by the end of the year. The food that your dollars will be buying will be more expensive by the end of the year. So there's two things happening. The prices are going up and the values go, while the value of your currency is going down. So it's a double whammy. That's why people are trying to get out. That's why you're seeing asset inflation. And that's why you're seeing a run on real estate and crypto and paintings and things like that. People are trying to get out of dollars and get that, exchange those potentially worthless currency units in the form of Federal Reserve notes. They're trading those in for assets. And then if there's inflationary price levels rising, well, then it won't be impacting these people in a negative sense because they'll have assets and the value of those assets will rise. So they'll be getting rid of dollars and trading them in for assets. And in our case, if we're looking at this on a smaller scale, it's just getting rid of dollars and trading them in for food or trading them in for gold coins or silver coins or something like that, which by the way, everybody should have a little bit of that. Not licensed to give financial advice. I'll be clear about that, but having some silver coins or some silver bars, smart, very smart, smart thing to do. I use sdbullion.com. I have used them for a couple of years now. I like them. They do a good job. When I buy it, it gets shipped to me and I get it every single time and they send it to me quickly. So I'm a fan of that. So it's just something to consider because the devaluation of the dollar is accelerating. And you know this because Joe Biden comes out and says that he's got a $6 trillion plan. Well, when you're his $6 trillion plan, part of it is through collecting more taxes on people, which of course they're going to do. But part of it is just borrowing more money from the Fed at interest. The dumbest idea in the history of ideas, when you control the treasury and you could print the goddamn money up yourself and you choose not to, you choose to borrow it at interest from the Federal Reserve. It is idiotic, but this we don't have to get emotional about, and this we don't have to speculate about. When you create $6 trillion. Let's just say that it's all created. I realize that probably a third of it will be revenue raised through increases in taxation. But let's just take that out of the equation and just say that he's creating $6 trillion out of thin air, which would we would have to add to the trillions of dollars that were created last year in 2020 during the pandemic. 40% of all dollars in existence were created just last year. 40%. Think of how much money, think of how many US dollars were in existence in 2019. Trillions of them. We run the petrodollar scam. We run Wall Street. We've got the SWIFT banking system. Think of how many US dollars flow through that system. And then just understand that of all of those dollars, they created 40% more just in 2020. And Biden's talking about another $6 trillion in this. They're hyperinflating the currency. It's the only logical outcome. So you don't have to get emotional. And you don't have to speculate. You just have to use a little bit of math and have a slight background in economics. Real slight. Just to know enough to know what an increase in the money supply does. It makes every unit of currency worth a little bit less. Now, it's not that big of a deal when you're printing $1 billion out of our gigantic economy. But when you're printing $6,000 billion in 1 year, and you just know that money is going to get spent in the worst way possible. Every grifter in Washington, D.C., and in Wall Street, and in Big Pharma is going to have their hand out. They're all going to get a cut. We know this. This doesn't require you to put on your conspiratorial thinking cap or anything like that. You just know it. You know it from experience. You know it from logic and common sense. You know that all these people in Washington, D.C. are criminals. That's what they do. They look for new reasons to come up with ideas where they can steal money in a legal sense from the people and give it to their buddies on Wall Street and in big business. And that's what they're doing. I mean, Jeff Bezos, they're talking about a $10 billion bailout for Blue Origins, Jeff Bezos' company. I'm sorry, am I missing something here? Have they been smoking crack cocaine? Exactly why in the hell are you going to give Jeff Bezos $10 billion in the middle of a, quote, pandemic? He's running Amazon. He's worth $200 billion himself. He started a vanity project spaceship company that's trying to compete with Elon Musk and SpaceX. They don't get the big contract, so they make a big stink about it. And now Congress is saying, well, maybe we'll just give him $10 billion too. How dare you? But this is what happens before you become Weimar Germany, the Weimar Republic, where you have the proverbial wheelbarrow filled with cash. If you think it can't happen in the United States, you are wrong. It might be harder for it to happen in the United States, but it can happen. And you know how you would make it happen? You do things like print 40% new dollars in 1 year, and then the following year you follow it up with another $6 trillion. That's how you get there. That's the formula. If you're wondering how they did that, that's how they did that. It never ends well. And the inflation is already being felt. Just from last year, we're already feeling it. No surprise Bitcoin took off like it did. No surprise that we have massive price appreciations in lumber, in gas prices, cars, shipping, food, everything is going up. And you know, with when it comes to food, something you should keep an eye on, they're very smart in their con. When it comes to like food food packaging companies, you got to read the box, because what they'll do is they'll keep the same size box, but the contents will shrink on the inside. So it looks like you're buying the same size box that you've always been buying, because you are. The difference is, instead of it saying, you know, I don't know, 24 ounces in your box of cereal, now it says 21 ounces. And you didn't notice it because the box looks the same. It's the same size. You know, you can't really tell that much of a difference. But that's how they do it. They, in a little sneaky move, they reconfigure the amount that you're getting, but keep the packaging relatively the same. But price inflation is what you get when you devalue the dollar through inflating the currency. It's just economics, and not even advanced economics either. This is the shit you learn in Econ 101 in college. Real simple stuff. We're seeing that in the next couple of months, in the next couple of weeks in some states, they are doing away with unemployment benefits. There's been a lot of talk about how you pull into a fast food restaurant and there's a sign that says, "We're closed, nobody will work." When your unemployment benefits are better than your working wages, then you take the unemployment benefits. That's I'm not going to shit on anybody doing that. That's, once again, that's math as well. That's just a math formula. I can sit here and do nothing and make more money than if I get up and go to work 5 days a week at this job that I don't like anyway and have no loyalty to. What will I do? Well, I'll take the free money for as long as they're offering the free money. Then I'll figure it out. And that's what's happening. So that's what they're doing. They're starting to force people to go back to work because the unemployment benefits are going away. But you will start to see universal basic income creep in. It's coming. And we've talked about this quite a bit. But I think that that's something that you can keep your eyes on and pretty much count on. Unemployment benefits going away, forcing more people to get up off the couch and get back out there and go find jobs. But the jobs are now going to have to pay a little bit more to keep people going. So the companies say, we got to stay in business. Nobody wants to work here because they're getting more money from unemployment benefits. When the unemployment benefits drop, then they can go back to the stores can go back to offering whatever they'd like to pay their employees, because they're not competing against unemployment anymore. But in the states where unemployment stays, then those jobs need to do a better job of offering more money than what the unemployment benefits are. And if they do that, then they're going to raise their prices in turn, because they've had to, their cost of labor has gone up. Therefore, the cost of goods sold will have to go up to match that. So you're going to get price inflation one way or another. We're also coming to the unfortunate reality of the vaccine side effects implications. And we've done the SPARS document episode here. We've had Mike Halpern on talking about SPARS. I've done several interviews on other shows talking about it. It's something to consider. And I'm not gonna dwell on it too much, because, like I said, we've done a couple full episodes on that. But in the fictional scenario of SPARS that was released in 2017, that was simulating an outbreak of a virus in 2025, in the fictional scenario, as soon as they got to the part where they rolled out the vaccines and did all the same vaccine tricks that they did, rush to market, experimental use authorization, convincing people that they need to get the vaccine or grandma will die, telling people they need to get the vaccine, threatening people to get the vaccine, offering them free beer, offering them donuts, and all that shit. After they got the people to start taking the vaccines, 9 months later, in the fictional scenario, the population came down with a form of encephalitis that was closely resembling mad cow disease, otherwise known as sponge brain. And then the public freaked out, rightly so. They demanded accountability, and then they did something else in that document. Do you remember? They ran the governmental officials and the celebrity doctor, which in our reality was Fauci. In their reality, he had a different name, but it was the same sort of thing. They ran the head of the CDC, the head of the FDA, and all of the celebrities that had been actively pushing people to take vaccines, they ran them out of society. They didn't really clarify what that meant, but we were led to believe that all of those people were forced out of polite society. I don't know that that meant jail. It might have meant that, but they didn't say it. So since they didn't specify, we won't specify. But isn't it interesting that all of a sudden Bill Gates is starting to get demonized in the media? Isn't that fascinating? Guess who else is getting thrown headfirst under the bus? Anthony Fauci. His emails were released through a FOIA request. Now, I believe that was made to happen because they could have redacted that. They knew what they were doing when they gave out those documents, but they didn't redact it. They let not all of it, some parts, but they let some important content get out. Because, you see, much like, I'll take this back to Star Wars, since we had Conspiracy Kyle on the show. Empire Strikes Back. They're in Cloud City. For those of you dorks like me that memorized all these Star Wars movies. Lando Calrissian, a.k.a. Billy Dee Williams, has cut a deal with the Empire for them to set up a trap to capture Luke. But Lando said that Chewie and Princess Leia would stay with him. And remember what Darth Vader said, take the Wookiee and the princess to my ship. And Lando says, hey, wait a minute, we had a deal for them to stay with us. What did Darth Vader say? I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further. When you are Anthony Fauci and you do a deal with the Empire to be their spokesperson, you should know they will alter the deal. Pray they don't alter it any further. We've exposed you in your emails. Pray that we don't lock you in a prison cell. Pray that we don't allow more documents to come out painting a picture of who you really are. So the process of throwing Fauci and Bill Gates under the bus has begun. That process happens in the SPARS pandemic document, the fictional scenario. Those guys get thrown under the bus in that scenario, and now it's happening in real life. Does that mean that the vaccine side effects are coming? Maybe. Maybe not, because in the scenario, the vaccine side effects hit first, and then these guys are thrown to the wolves after that. In real life, right now, we're getting mild vaccine side effects, but not enough to justify a massive uprising. We're getting suppression of results, but it's not everybody having massive side effects. So we can expect those guys to continue to be demonized, which I'm totally fine with, but we can also expect new variants. And I put that term variant in air quotes because, look, vaccine or viruses mutate. It's what they do. It's the nature of viruses. You're never going to be able to stop all of the variants. But the variants aren't the problem. The variants are side effects caused from the vaccines, masquerading as variants. They're going to tell you they're variants. Whatever the side effect is from the vaccine that makes you do something, let's just say that it winds up like the encephalitis. Sponge brain. You can't remember where you left your keys. Can't remember where you left your phone. Everything's just a little unclear in your head. Oh, well, did you have the vaccine? Yeah. Oh, well, it's probably from the vaccine, but they're never going to tell you that. You know what they're going to tell you? Oh, you must have the Tanzania strain, because the Tanzania strain makes you forget where you left your keys, where you put your wallet, makes you forget like what you were doing. You know, you must have that. You understand? That's how they'll masquerade. They'll wrap it. They'll wrap the vaccine side effects as being not vaccine side effects, but a sign that you have a variant of COVID. And the side effects will be X, Y, and Z, whatever it is that the vaccine was giving you. They'll say, oh, no. It's not that. It's not from the vaccine, of course. So expect more of that. That's coming. That's where we're headed. Never-ending new variants every week. Also, where we're heading is vaccine segregation. We're seeing that already. Come to the Yankees game. You can sit in the vaccinated section only. No, thank you. I'll watch the Yankees lose on television. Thank you very much. But here's something. We're going to put on our speculation hat for a second here. But I think this is reasonable. Psychotic, of course, but reasonable. I would expect to see a false flag coming sometime this year that does two things. It's a two for one, if you will. Demonize the pro-gun crowd and the anti-vax crowd together. As an example, you have some guy who goes nuts, right? Some guy who's been radicalized, let's just say. Radicalized by the FBI, of course, but radicalized. He gets his gun. He gets his AR-15. It's got to be that, right? Because you got to have the agenda. He's got his AR-15 and he goes and shoots up a doctor's office for giving out the vaccine because the vaccine is poisonous. That's what he thinks. He's been posting it on Facebook. He's been writing in his manifesto at home. He's got 17,000 rounds of ammunition. He's got my book on his desk, right? he's got the Octopus of Global Control sitting on his desk. They can wrap me into this thing all at once, right? And they say he was radicalized by anti-vaccine propaganda and took his AR-15 down to a doctor's office and shot up a bunch of doctors. Now, I'm making that whole scenario up. But can you see that happening? Can you understand what that would do? That would kill two birds with one stone. Anti-vax demonization, AR-15 demonization. They go hand in hand. Domestic terrorism tied to the anti-vaccine movement. I guarantee you they're working on it. You come back to this episode. When this happens, and it will happen, it's my prediction, it will happen. You come back to this episode. It'd be like Bill Cooper, when Bill Cooper said 3 months before 9/11, when 9/11 happens, they're going to blame it on a bunch of Arabs, but don't you believe it. Don't you believe it. They're going to blame it on Osama bin Laden, but don't you believe it. Hopefully I don't turn out like Bill Cooper. And to be clear, I'm not trying to say I'm anywhere near Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper has a special place on the Mount Rushmore of conspiracy research, and I am most certainly not there. But But my point is, he could see it coming a couple months ahead. And I think we can see it coming a couple months ahead. You just have to think like a crazy person. You just have to think like one of these social engineers. I think that's a reasonable scenario for them. How many components of the alternative media can we demonize all at once, right? We can say he was radicalized through books. We can say he was radicalized through podcasts, this fictional person that shoots up the doctor's office. You know, what was on his phone? What was he listening to? Oh, macroaggressions. Oh my God. Podcasts. We've got a center podcast. They're radicalizing people. You understand this, right? You can see where this is going. So I envision that coming. If you've watched the Project Veritas undercover video where they go inside of CNN, you see that they've got the undercover camera and they've got a CNN producer out, and he's saying, yeah, you know, we're really kind of moving away from the Biden topic and pivoting more towards climate change. So we know that climate change hysteria is coming. I mean, not that it hasn't already been here, but it's coming in full swing. And the climate change component of this is about demonizing humanity. Humanity is the problem. Humanity is the problem with the climate. Humanity is the problem with COVID. Humanity is the problem with overpopulation. It's always our fault. But it's not, that's not a new concept. The Club of Rome in 1971 put out a document called The Limits of Growth. And in that, they listed what they plan to do with the idea of global warming, how they were going to create this concept and use it as the pretext to blame humanity for everything. And then blaming humanity, then tax humanity as the mechanism for behavior modification, while simultaneously pulling a ton of money out of humanity as well. This is from their passage. I want to read this. The common enemy, this is 1971, by the way, Club of Rome. Club of Rome was started by Dr. Alexander King and David Rockefeller. Dr. Alexander King started the Committee of 300. He co-founded NATO, and he was heavily involved in the Tavistock Institute. And you know who the fuck David Rockefeller was. He was a horrible human being. So this is what they said. The common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. We believe humanity requires a common motivation, namely, a common adversary, in order to realize world government. It does not matter if this common enemy is a real one, or one invented for the purpose. Let me translate this. Let me put this in our English. As a ploy to unite humanity into a one-world government, we at the Club of Rome came up with the idea that global warming would work great because we could blame it on people and then make them do something to fix it. The people need to be motivated to form a one-world government, and it does not really matter if we make up the reason or not. That's how I see it. Humanity is the problem. They're trying to manage us. They're trying to blame us for everything. They're trying to make us feel guilty. We already saw what that did in 2020. Are you trying to kill grandma? How dare you not social distance? You're trying to kill grandma. Are you trying to make us start this 15 days to flatten the curve all over again, starting on day one because you came out of your house because you just couldn't be a team player? How dare you? We should release all the prisoners out of this jail and then take you and the lady who's playing with her kids at the park and put you in jail because you guys want to kill grandma. It's not very hard to extrapolate this. They want to blame us for this. This is coming in the future. When CNN says we're pivoting to climate change, this is what they're talking about. Climate change is fake. It's fake, 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 fake. It's not real. Okay? It isn't. The science proves it. Not their science. And once again, trust the science, right? Well, they're talking about bot science. I'm talking about actual science. The actual science does not warrant the climate change hysteria because it's not about that. It's a carbon tax scam. Go back and listen to my episode called Carbon Tax Hustle. Go watch my episode on Tinfoil Hat called the Paris Climate Accord, where we talked about this. This is the reason why when CNN talks about pivoting to climate change, this is what they're talking about. It's about an agenda and a narrative being formed. They've been talking about it for a while, but it's coming in 24/7 now. And by the way, it's never going away because the climate change hysteria is an integral component of the push to form a one world government. They said it. They even said it in here. We believe humanity requires a common motivation, namely a common adversary, in order to realize world government. Climate change is that common adversary. We're going to have to do whatever we can to stop climate change. We're going to have to tax the shit out of you to stop climate change, because, you know, taxation works. And what are they doing with that money? The carbon tax that they collect from this, from the climate change hustle, is the funding mechanism for the New World Order. So they're taking money from us and keeping it for themselves and using that to finance the world government. That's what they're talking about. I'm not making this up. It's in their book. I mean, I could make it up. I could speculate about it, but I don't need to. I can read their own words. That's where we're going. So I feel like in my life, I'm better prepared before I start on my trip. If I take a look at the map and say, this is where I am, this is where we're going. Okay, I get a big picture visual representation of where I'm going from A to B. Great. Now let's start the journey. While I'm on that journey, I might look at the map a couple more times just to make sure I'm on the right path. But I got to take a look at the big map before I get going. That's just how my brain works. So that's what I'm trying to do here. We're talking about the big map, where we're going. Now, these things, we'll get into more detail as the year goes on and as they start to pop up. But this is how you do it. You watch what they're doing in the media, and you get so good at recognizing the patterns that you can understand where they're trying to take us through their words. And when they start talking about, you know, we're really going to pivot to climate change, you know what that means. You know why they're doing it. And you know what the ramifications of that are. It's where we're going. And I don't mean to scare people about it. It's about awareness. It's not about fear. It's about awareness. Make moves, planning accordingly. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to wrap this up on a high note. An ironic note. But man, is this awesome. Flint, Michigan. You're familiar with Flint, Michigan, the place that still does not have clean drinking water. The place where Obama pretended to drink a glass of water. That lying bastard. That big phony. Is there anything about Barack Obama that was authentic and real? Flint, Michigan, the city, just sold the former police academy to a company that plans to use it as a grow facility
for marijuana. How awesome is that? The former police academy is being repurposed into a grow facility for weed. Oh, that just makes me feel so good. I love that. Those cops spend so much time focusing on plants, victimless crimes and the like, and to watch their police academy in that, city that has been turned into a shithole by politicians and mismanagement, that they're so broke that they have to sell these buildings just to keep their crooked governmental scams going. And the company that steps in to buy it is a company that grows weed. There is hope, everybody. There is hope. If you like this show, if you appreciated and enjoyed this episode, then do me one favor. Rate the show, share the show, and listen the next time an episode comes out. Thanks, everybody. Take care.